Hey,
what up, guys?
What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 2. This is something that we want to be consistent with. We've got a name for it. You want to share the name, Eli?
Real Talk.
Real Talk.
R-E as in real estate.
So just, just full disclosure, if you haven't heard that first one, anytime that we're doing, these guys are going to be specific to real estate and lending and in the insurance world, and just kind of like from our lens, how we've built our community, how we approach lending and real estate. The reason I say insurance is we do not have anybody that's insurance specific on this podcast. However, Alex comes with us every single week. He's permanent here. He does help with digital marketing with a lot of insurance guys, so we can kind of dabble into that. However, staying in our lanes, we're going to be majority of lenders and realtors, and really just trying to expose our successes, right? So we've been talking about Eli and I owning a top 1% real estate team for Berkshire Hathaway nationwide. I've been a little incorrect lately. I want to be honest, because that was true last year, right? It's a little different this year, and it's only fair that we're honest.
What has changed?
Well, we're top 0.5%.
Jesus. That's so funny.
So we're even better than I was saying that we were. All joking aside, man, that feels good. It feels good for our win. It's a good team win. It feels great.
I can't wait for top 0.8%.
Top 0.8%. Or they're just like, hey, man, you guys are numero uno with an Arnold Schwarzenegger shirt.
Hey, it's a big deal, man. Congrats.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And short run, too. Less than 2 years.
Yeah, less than 2 years. So we're having a lot of fun with that. Now, something that we always try to be specific to, I joke a lot, I have a lot of fun. No, in reality, I'm not that egotistical. I do understand that we've got a process and systems that work for us, and we really try to stay in our lane and understand, you know, that there's a lot of different ways to go about business, and you definitely have to figure out who you are and what works best for you. We just love sharing what works best for us. We have found by building a team that what we do works for a lot of folks. So we want to keep spreading that word. After doing our podcast for a long time, we did want to speak specific to our industry and really try to help out in that lane. So if you're ever seeing Real Talk, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, Facebook, if you're seeing that, please dabble in. If you're not a realtor or lender, we just got great business stuff that we're going to be talking about. Some of it does apply outside when it comes to community and sphere and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. However, that is specific to what we're speaking about.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Before we kick off, Alex, until people really get to know you, man, if you want to give another little intro about yourself, man.
Sure. Alex Karaginidis here, owner and founder of BSM Vault. We're a digital marketing agency. We work with real estate companies and mortgage companies and insurance companies, and we help them use digital marketing and social media the right way, generate and capture leads online. We focus a lot on brand awareness. We focus a lot on technology and automation and using what we all have access to today, which today is unparalleled compared to how people in the past used to be able to invest money to get their message out. Today, more than ever, your message matters, and it could be heard and seen by so many people so easy today. So
yeah. And I think it marries up perfectly with the way that we like to do business, which is face-to-face, shaking hands, but then your personality and scaling that through the shit that you do.
Yeah, I believe offline complements online and vice versa. Yep. I take a very holistic approach to running our business. So do most, if not all, our clients. It's like a yin and a yang, where offline meets online. And I think any business in the world should consider including online practices like what we teach and what we talk about with what you guys do offline. So
100%. And I'm big on, push this mic a little bit. I'm going to like rotate it back and forth. Promise I'm not eating. I am fasted right now, but I'm not eating my mic.
Delirious, yet.
Man, I'm a firmer believer on just being a practitioner, right? Being that subject matter expert at what you do, because if you are going to pop off at the mouth and promote yourself, and we can kind of get into self-promotion on a different podcast, we're going to kind of get into that today. But I think there's nothing wrong with it. You just have to have the integrity that you really do think that you are best for your clients and putting your best foot forward, and that you care in the right ways. But then here's the deal. You also have to be proficient at your job. So, you know, Alex talks a lot about scaling with digital marketing. He's got some really good points that we're going to talk about today. I think he's going to start very basic, which I think is rewarding, because a lot of that stuff is just out of our scope sometimes. There's just a lot of convoluted things that apply to that world, but there are some basic things that we could be doing on our end. So a lot of the stuff that him and I just naturally gravitated to, but I'm big on being a practitioner. You got to be, man, just a professional at your job. And with that being said, title for today is how to be a trusted professional.
You wrote it, by the way.
It was better than I thought. I'm like, I wrote that? Jesus Christ. Man, speaking of that, side note, remember I wrote that monologue the other day? And of course, Marines, true to be who Marines are. This fucking Marine gets on there and goes, wow, I didn't know a Marine could write like that. I'm like, that articulate. I didn't write that. I got a second lieutenant following me around writing my fucking monologues. But it was funny. But no, man, it's good. It's basically, you know, we're going to have a couple bullet points today. We're going to have a part two next week on just how to be a trusted professional in your local market, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about the title today, and I just want to talk about that a little bit as we approach this to just give you guys the right mindset of, man, we were thinking about the word celebrity, like how to be the celebrity in your market. Man, celebrity is not always good. I don't necessarily know if I like the word celebrity because I don't like a lot of them, right? And when celebrities start talking about politics or some other bullshit, I don't care for it. And I think that word celebrity, it just gives a persona. And I identify smoke and mirrors with that. I start seeing people wearing, not that I'm against suits and ties. If that's you, do your thing. Just bear with me. When people start looking flashy or trying to like look the part of what they think they're supposed to be doing and they're acting, that's what my lens, that's how I identify from what I've seen in our industry in Denver, right? And on social media. And we know them because we're your peers. We know you're not doing any deals, but you're dressing and acting a certain way. And I feel like they're in that sense of like being the celebrity.
Playing a character.
Yeah. Versus, look, man, if you happen to be a celebrity because you're charismatic and whatever, hey, that's awesome. You've got to be yourself. But more importantly is, regardless, how to be a trusted professional in your local market, as in going beyond what people personally think of your clothes or your personality. Just trusting that you're a professional and you're super proficient at your job. And I can speak to that because I'm kind of a big guy. I'm super tattooed, not quite what you might think that you're going to get from real estate. And just full disclosure, a lot of our referral clients, which is all we do, they're in their 60s. They're in their 50s. They're in their 30s.
Yeah.
Some of them are just female. Some of them are just male. Some of them are married. Some of them come from across different religious backgrounds. Our sphere, our book of referrals could not be more different than you might think. So it's not that we're just helping a bunch of gym bros buy houses. Not true, right? So from my lens, it's like, man, like where does that fall into place? Well, one, referrals are great because if you're recommended to someone, you've kind of got a foot in the door if they at least have got something because you're getting recommended by someone they know. True. But at the end of the day, it goes beyond our clothes and it goes right into the material and the way we conduct ourselves as a professional with execution, right? And I think that's huge. So with the title today, man, I thought it was perfect. How to be a trusted professional in your local market. And we're going to kind of dive into that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of consumers share the same lens you do. I think most people, and correct me if I'm wrong here, would rather work with a trusted advisor than a celebrity, right? Just because you look the part, like you said.
I 100% agree.
Right? A consumer who's buying a house for the first time wants to know that the person they're working with is knowledgeable, knows what they're doing, professional, has a process in place, and is less interested in knowing, you know, that you're or thinking that you're a celebrity.
And sometimes these celebrity notions, they do go to scale, right? And people, sometimes customers start thinking that you're more of social media content for them. Here's my listing. Here's my house. Here's my sign. Here's my photo at closing. I'm not saying any of those are inappropriate. The way you approach them can be super inappropriate,
right?
Correct?
But or too fancy for their $300,000 home.
Totally.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. So,
or the timing, right? Super. The timing of when they get that message, right?
Super big deal. Mm-hmm. So we'll dive right into it. There's a couple things that I've broken down, and something that we used to say in the Marine Corps, break things down Barney style.
Yeah.
And I remember one Marine was like, "Who's Barney?" And I'm like, "Dude, it's the purple dinosaur that talks to 2-year-olds.
Yeah, who's Barney?
Like, what are you talking about? Like, look. Shit. And this is not to insult anyone. I break things down Barney style for myself as well. But the reason why we want to break things down at its most simplistic form is to not make any assumptions of what someone might know, especially when it comes to social media or some things that we talk about. We can't assume that everyone has the same level of knowledge, and maybe some people are newer to it. Doesn't mean they're not smart. They might be incredibly smart at other stuff. They're just new to social media or new to some other things. So for me, it's always been a great thing as a leader. And anytime I've been an instructor in the Marine Corps, if you can start and break things down at its most simplistic point, you will not leave anyone behind. Mm-hmm. And then you're not worried about people being embarrassed to raise their hand and say they don't know something, right? Like, this is a bullet, right? Fuck you, okay? Mm-hmm. But I think it's huge. So something I've gotten on board that I'm looking at, guys, and you're going to see a lot of me looking at this sometimes anytime we're going over a podcast like this, because we're actually trying to teach you guys some processes and some content versus our normal podcast we're morons having some fun, shooting from the hip, talking about things that are that are from the heart that I don't necessarily have to look at. But trying to stay on track. You guys are going to see me doing this kind of stuff a lot, so just get used to it. But something I've got down here when it's like, okay, how to be a trusted professional in your local market? Well, here's my most simplistic form. Know your market. What is your market? How do you find your market? Well, your market, I definitely gravitate to where I live. My daughter's school's here. I live here. I know the commute to Denver. I know the shops. I know the bars. I know the bar and grills. I know the people. I hear the bitches and moans and complaints of people talking about the HOA problems and while we're waiting for our daughters at school. I hear a lot of it. That's my market.
And dude, that's the important part that I want to touch on real quick, because it's not just the sales stats in your county. It's not just what price point is trending, or, you know, how many more homes are on the market this month as compared to year over year from last month. You know,
it applies
from the previous year.
It applies. There's part of it. They're fundamentals, and it applies. And let me kind of like give you guys a clue on what I mean. Everything is specific to someone's home, and not only is it specific to their home, it's like, oh, hey, what's the market like? Well, I don't know. Just market in general, or your market?
That's exactly it.
Your market as a homeowner, it's different. And it's not only, well, I live in suburbia. My house looks like the other four houses. True. But what are your circumstances? Have you refied three times? Have you never refied? Have you refied twice, but then you've got three dogs and two teenagers and you never took care of your house? And maybe this is an investment property, or maybe this is a way to get a bridge loan and have a company fund some rehab so we can sell it how it should be sold if we want to be competitive. Some examples, but this is where you can really keep yourself out of the trap of sounding like a salesperson when you're at the gym or you're at your kid's school and everybody's hanging out and they know you're a realtor and, oh, hey, so what's the market like? Is it picking up? Well, some houses have been sitting for a year. One went on the market last night and it's gone this morning. So what the fuck are you asking me? But the problem is we forget what it's like to be a consumer when we're on the sales side. And then we start saying things that sound very salesy. So even if we mean well, we kind of sound like that, right? Oh, yeah, no, it's picking up. Or, well, yeah, but they, you know, they say it's going to crash. Like, how many times do you need to have that conversation with people before you stop doing that? And literally when people ask me, and we get a lot, because we're pretty public about what we do. Like, hey, Will, how's the market going? Like, well, that depends, man. Like, what market are we talking about? Are we talking about your market or are we talking about the market? And what's the market? Because I promise you, the market applies to every single individual seller, whether it's commercial, residential. It's all going to fall back onto that person's circumstances. And yes, you can show averages and all this stuff and this and that. And does some of that matter? Yes, traffic patterns matter of, hey, how many homes is getting sold in Southeast Aurora versus somewhere else?
And supply and demand, basically.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All of that, but all that matters, but it's still going to be a strategic play on your circumstances specifically. Right. It's important to say that. So when we talk about what is your market? I tend to gravitate to like, what do you know? Where are you comfortable and what do you know? You know, because when I first started real estate, not going to mention any company names, they started telling me to like, hey, so Will, what's your ideal market? And I go,
or your bot, like your target audience, like shit like that, right?
Don't even put the camera on you. Just put it right back over here. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, funny you ask.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is it a you know, imagine yourself, like, is it a married couple on their first kid, second time home buyer, and they're ready to expand? And I'm closing my eyes on purpose because I'm like, I'm trying to buy into their bullshit. And it's a second time home buyer, and they're here, and they make this kind of money. I'm like, where the fuck did you – listen, man. I just want a deal. I just want to get a deal. No, I'm not going to go.
You don't want to. You don't want to identify a perfect avatar.
Yeah, bro. Yes. Yeah, like I felt like I'm like on Minecraft creating my character. Something weird. But the thing is, like, man, all joking aside, I'm not going to say that hasn't worked for someone before. I can't speak to it, so I'm not going to speak to it. I'm just going to make fun of you because I'm a moron. Okay. But more specifically for me, it's like, man, I had to learn how to get a client before, you know, like, yeah, you can learn about market, but what I'm getting at is no matter how much you know about the quote unquote market, it's mediocre knowledge until you know how to apply it to clients. And if you don't have any clients, then you don't have any specific scenarios to run this market data to figure out how it applies to them. Okay. Mm. Period. It's like book knowledge versus applied knowledge. It's good to go to college. It's good to go wherever you want and learn as much as you can. But until it becomes applied knowledge, man, you're not that subject matter expert. You're not that local professional. So it's more important to make sure that you're tapping into clients. And where I was finding clients was people I was around consistently, at my daughter's school, at the gym, at the coffee shop, where I buy car parts. You know, like, man, I was having great conversations with people, and they were very directed. We got into that in the first episode of this, so I'm not going to kind of reiterate the tools there. Go back and watch the first one. But when I was there, I was also comfortable having those conversations because I go to the gym in my market, in my neighborhood, in my zip code, right? Whatever you want to call it. I go to the gym in a 4-mile radius from my house. I know these people. A lot of the parents at the gym drop their kids off at my daughter's school, and then we all say hi again at the gym, and we're goofing off and having a good time and working out hard. And, well, that's where my clients started coming from. But it was also comfortable to have those conversations because, well, I live there, right? And then I started figuring out, okay, I'm still going to know market. I'm still going to understand Centennial and Southeast Aurora. But more specifically is I needed to understand how I take knowledge and apply it to someone's circumstance, okay? Mm-hmm. That's like a doctor knowing how to do everything. But until someone comes in with a bullet wound to some artery and he applies that book knowledge into a specific circumstance, I can't really justify that you're a professional. So more importantly is making sure that you're finding a way to obtain clients. Don't forget that you got to learn market and all these things. You just have to also have some training on how to apply that knowledge into someone's specific circumstance, right?
Yeah, I want to chime in on that because that's a good topic to maybe address the digital farm area ideas that I talk about. So you basically started out in the beginning with a physical farm area, and your physical farm area was where you lived and where you worked out and where you met people in like a 4 or 5 mile radius.
Now, basically, I was broke. I couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I'm up putting gas in my car, I'm broke.
So how this can translate to doing something like this digitally or on social media is picking a digital farm area and maybe expanding it instead of a 5 mile radius. You're expanding it to maybe a 10 mile radius, but online you can do that and target 10 to 50,000 people.
Or a 3 mile radius.
Or a 3 mile radius.
Here's why I like that. Him and I spoke about this, like events for my daughter's school.
Yep.
We talk about layers because we're big on the digital side. We love what you do. But we're also like, man, you got to be able to provide value or your postcards and your stuff isn't going to matter. So giving a quick example to kind of flood into what you're saying. What if I did a 3 mile radius and I was throwing events at my daughter's school?
Mile radius of where you live?
Yep.
Okay.
Or put a pen on my daughter's school.
Yep.
3 mile radius, right? And like, let's say we're sponsoring events there and I'm bringing the ice cream truck. I'm bringing the taco truck and I'm meeting parents and we bring the bouncy houses and I'm getting to know people in person. But then I have that event filmed and we're having fun. We create like a little teaser video. Mm-hmm. Now, when I throw that teaser video into that 3 mile radius, I bet a lot of the parents that have brought their kids to that school that have seen who I am, see our video.
Hell yeah, they will.
They're readily identifying me. Yeah. So I'm not just spam. And I bet they want to watch the video because they might be in it. Mm-hmm. Or they're just like, man, that's so cool. Like, but then I've got branding about what I do on there. Or you see me in a Berkshire shirt or whatever it is. Like, hey, cool. But then they're starting to get to know me. And then what happens if I mail that area and I give you a buy one, get one free at Tokyo Joe's? Mm-hmm. But it's got my face on it. And I'm the guy from your kid's school because I have kids that go to that school. And you also saw my video and you see how much I do for the school. And I'm also giving you this coupon. Now my postcard just became relevant. Versus, years. Let me go buy a zip code from wherever and throw out these cold postcards to every house in some area. So what I'm getting at is even in your immediate backyard, if you haven't found a way to find layers and touches for people to get to know you, man, you're just another realtor in the mail. And I promise you, there's a fuck ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing that's different? How are you creating real relationships? So when you do add these digital marketing layers, there's also some organic intimate piece to it where people are readily identifying you and recognizing you and they want to be a part of what you're doing.
It complements each other.
It's called omnipresence, my friend.
Oh, well played.
We were talking about adding that word to the title.
That's right.
So you're
so good at this.
Threw that in.
You got it in.
Do you guys know what the real definition is of omnipresence?
I know what it means, but
yeah.
Do you want to look it up?
I'm a Marine, bro. We're smart.
Let's look it up. I got you.
Being everywhere, right?
Yes.
Being everywhere online, offline. Like for your example, you take a pin drop of your daughter's school. You go a 3 mile radius around your daughter's school. You probably have 10,000 homeowners, I'm guessing, in that radius. That's kind of the sweet spot too. Digital, by the way, is 10 to 50,000 homeowners. So you got a 10,000 homeowners in a 3 mile radius of your daughter's school. You're physically farming the area because you're interacting with parents and doing things, working out, eating. You're saying you're sending out a postcard to maybe 500 of these homeowners, right? Now you could take that strategy and you could add a digital side to it. And what you could do is you could tell Facebook specifically, now we're talking, you could tell Facebook, hey, I have a pin drop. This is my daughter's address, 1234 Main Street. I want a 3 mile radius. Facebook says, great. Here's 20,000 people. Now, here's a tip for everybody listening. You could narrow down the audience of those 20,000 people to the interests that meet, I don't want to say avatar after how you started, but that meet like your perfect potential.
That demographic in that area.
But we're not talking about married with one kid.
No, we're not talking there. We're not talking about
activity.
We're talking about interests and behaviors that Facebook tracks, not just on what people do on Facebook, but also what they do on other sites, because that's where it is today. Data is sold to everybody, voice recognition, pixels, everything. So you tell Facebook, I want to target a 3-mile radius of my daughter's school, and I want to base my targeting on people that are interested in Redfin, Realtor.com, Zillow, and Trulia. And you could narrow it down even more, and they must be interested in real estate. Now you narrow down your audience to 10,000 people, but these people might be buying and selling one day.
And exclude the goddamn realtors.
You can exclude anybody you want.
Right, and more specifically, you can do this manually in your head, and you can go, can you target market an age demographic?
Mm-hmm. Now, hold on.
Because I know there's some things that have changed as far as law.
So for those of you who don't know what the special categories feature is on Facebook, this is very important. This was deployed like mid last year, so this is not new. But I teach every day. I taught 2 webinars today. The entire audience on both webinars had no clue about it. Most people don't understand. So in real estate and in lending right now, if you're a real estate professional or mortgage professional and you want to post, whether it's run an ad or organically to an audience, a message. If it pertains to housing or credit or employment, you have to click what's called a special categories button. Once you click that button, your age group is gone. You can't target per age. You can't even target per gender. You could target per location, but they limit your location to a minimum of 15 miles.
And that's due to the Fair Housing Act. Is that what that's about?
Correct. Also, though, but what Facebook still allows you to do, and I want to touch on this, is one of the bullet points I have here, is they allow you to still target based on interests. And the 4 interests I told you, I'm going to repeat them right now, they're the holy grail for everybody who's in lending or real estate that's listening or watching. It's Realtor.com, it's Zillow, it's Homes.com, and it's Trulia. Facebook allows you to target based on those interests, and then I suggest you narrow it down even more, and they must be interested in real estate, which basically means your message is going to people that are interested in those 4 services plus real estate. It doesn't mean they're buying or selling today or tomorrow, but it means they're more interested in buying or selling one
day. Correct. Well, and a big thing, and the reason why it's so important to do the grunt work, right, to get out to know these people in that area, and when you narrow down an area as specific as you can is – the bottom line is maybe not everyone likes Zillow.com or Realtor.com. Maybe they haven't searched through there yet. Maybe there's going to be criteria that they just can't go off of. But if you can narrow down that demographic as specific as possible, great. And then you're also going to have people that are on social media that like those sites. So being specific like that works. Now, here's where we get into layers. This is why going in person to your daughter's activities, going to the daddy-daughter dance, going to the ice cream social, doing the jumpy bouncy houses, and whether you're sponsoring or not, going out and meeting these people and letting them recognize your face, right? Yep. Some people will see your video you put together on social media because it's out there. It's target marketed for that range. So people that have parents or parents that have kids that go to that school are seeing your video on social media. More specifically, if they also have those interests, now they're really seeing it. But more importantly is these layers. The postcards that go out for like the buy one, get one half off at Tokyo Joe's or the buy one, get one free movie ticket. Why does that layer matter? Because you're going to have people on social media that maybe have never liked Zillow.com. You're going to have people that maybe don't even use social media, but they're still getting your postcard.
Yeah.
And what about if they don't have both? Well, then you still have opportunities to see people in person. Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting at is when you hyper-focus in an area you're comfortable in that you naturally belong to. I also belong to the veteran community. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into other stuff because right now we're talking location. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in part 2, we'll elaborate more on, it's not just location, but I belong to a veteran community. I belong to a police community. There's things that I can do that they're all over damn Colorado, but there are Facebook pages, there are meetups, there are motorcycle clubs, there are things that I can get involved in because of my background that I just organically fit into. Okay. So, but right now we're talking locally, but the reason why layering is so important is because you have to understand not everyone is going to see every layer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure that you're maximizing and you're squeezing that sponge in that area the best that you can. And the more people know you over there, the more you really are involved in that community, the more that people kind of feel that and trust that, and it's real. It's honest.
That's where, even though we don't like the word, when you have the layers like that, and you're really good on your video content, and you're sponsoring events, and the mailers are coming out, and you're omnipresent, that's where, even though we don't like the word, your clients are going to start seeing you as a celebrity. You're like the weatherman, to where it's like, oh, I saw three of his videos on Facebook this week. He was in my mailbox last month. And then I keep an eye out for his thing because he actually has good content coming in my mailbox. And I like that Tokyo Joe's buy one, get one. That's when maybe you're not presenting yourself like that. You don't think of yourself that way. But your clients are like, hey, that's that realtor. You know, like you really do. You kind of get that celebrity status to your client's eyes.
And you're bringing value, right? Yes. So we talk about raffles. Are raffles legal? Yeah. Because there's not a guaranteed payout. There's not a guaranteed win, you know. And if someone refers, whatever, you win something, but you're not paying someone for a referral. You're not paying someone for their business. Mm-hmm. Raffles are legal. And if you do a cool raffle at an event in your local area and people want to give you a phone number or an email to put into, also, here's my thing. People don't mind your content. They mind when you're a liar about it. So if I got to enter into a raffle and I got to give my email or my phone number, and then that's how the winners are going to be given away. Yeah, man, we're going to have a live video that kind of, or we're going to have a video that gets sent to your emails, going to show the winners. Hey, full disclosure, man, I do have a market update that I like to throw out. I live in this area, so I throw a market update into this area. It's a little bit more specific than most because I'm applying it to this neighborhood. Obviously, if that's something that you don't want after the raffle, you can just opt out. Just me talking about the elephant in the room and letting you know that you're going to get an email from me, dude, never had a problem. People have never bothered me about it. But if I throw that out there and then at the raffle, I'm like pretending like that's not going to happen, but I'm sitting here gaining your information, dude, it pisses people off, man, when you're just not transparent and honest. And I bet you they, and based off of clicks and stuff we've seen with our team on how often emails get opened up, hey, man, a lot of these newsletters that our teams are creating, we've got one girl who's an HOA president. We've got another girl who's got like a dog meetup. Yep. It's cool. Dude, they're really clicking on this stuff. And it just means, hey, if it's valuable and you're honest about why you're doing it, you're going to be good. And guess what? They're probably also okay with it because they're getting to know you. Because you're in that market and it's real and it's honest and you're not trying to force anything.
Let me add another layer to what you mentioned. You mentioned a couple times postcards and videos. So another cool thing you guys could take advantage of with Facebook is anybody who watches these videos, you can track and target people based on how long they watch the video. So your videos that you guys are putting out, now you guys are putting out videos consistently, which is great. You can now retarget based on actions they take. So if they watch 10 seconds or 15 seconds of a video, you could take that audience and put them in a different category and market to them a little different. In addition, your postcards that you're mailing out, or whoever's mailing out postcards, and that's a great strategy, that audience could be put into Facebook. All you need is their address, first name, last name. If you have email, phone number, great. But if you don't worry, state and zip. Facebook will take that data. If it matches their data, now in addition to them getting the postcard once a month, they're also getting something else in their news feed.
So you don't even need email for that.
No. The more they're called identifiers, right? Yeah. The more identifiers you have,
interesting,
the better chance that data matches with Facebook's data. Because a lot of people
they're
have
just cross-referencing everything. Yeah. They can narrow down.
Because a lot of people have old, like my email address is an old email address. So if somebody's trying to look me up or solicit me with my old email address, they're never going to get to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Somebody might have changed their phone number. Yep. Somebody might have common first and last names.
Yep.
So identifiers are first name, last name, email, phone number, city, state, zip, birthdays, those are all called identifiers. The more you have, the better. So the postcard strategy you mentioned, and if you want to layer in Beyond Me Present, you also, in addition, put the videos in front of the people you're mailing out the postcards to, and now 100%. You could track who's watching your videos and retarget them.
This is why you're like, no. This is why guys like you crack me up.
I'm trying to be Barney style, right?
No,
I'm trying.
I love it. No, you're good. You're phenomenal today. I appreciate you coming down to planet Earth and speaking to us, you know, us idiots, right? But we had a client one time and she was like, Will, remember, I don't want to mention names, but I gave him a hard time about
You almost did.
I did. I gave him a hard time about his Detroit Lion barbecue grill.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome. Good folks. But I remember her talking to us and she's like, Will, it was just meant to be. Like, I was kind of like thinking some things and then I saw your video and it was
Dude,
I'm like, listen, I really appreciate you feeling like this is meant to be and the universe is talking to you.
What she did, the house that they had inquired about, fun little story, that is a good one. So first of all, let me back up. So this was a, we were doing Facebook marketing when we had first kind of started the team and just short period of time, we were doing Facebook marketing. This was a Facebook lead that came in. He called them, set up an appointment, and we go to show up at their house. Keep in mind, totally cold person, not even a referral or anything like that. And we get there, and they have
you got him from Facebook.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Completely cold.
Completely.
Yeah.
They have a Detroit Lions, like, big-ass smoker in the front of their house, or, like, the garage had, like, a Detroit Lions logo on it or something. And they weren't quite home yet, so Will calls them. He's like, hey, you know, we're here. And they're like, oh, hey, we're right around the corner. We're on our way. And he's like, no, that's fine. We're cool waiting. But I think someone vandalized your house. And you hear the lady on the phone, and she's like, what? Is everything okay? And he's like, yeah, I think everything's okay, but there's a big-ass Detroit Lions logo on your garage. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, my God, bro. Like, only you could get away with, like, insulting the team of the people we're going to meet up with.
First and foremost.
They don't even know us.
Calculated joke. You're a Detroit Lions fan. You've been getting made of fun of for a long time. If I don't call that joke out on you,
dude,
you think I'm not human. Or
it's not the first time.
You're going to think I don't even know football.
They pull up in the driveway, yeah, cracking up. They both had big smiles on their face. And I was like, only you will.
Broke
only
the ice. But then she did admit, she's like, man, it was just meant to be, because I just kept looking at this house and it just kept popping up. And I'm because you keep clicking on it.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, cool. And obviously we tell her how it works, and she thought it was funny. And we had a great time with them, but it does matter. And
did you end up bringing him in as clients?
We crushed, man.
Sell
we
back. Crushed.
Yeah. Come
so,
on, dude.
Sold it so off you guys have not done all your transactions.
This was like one lead. I knew you were going to say some bullshit
okay.
like that.
I want to hear it. You guys got a deal.
He's
from
like,
Facebook.
Oh, so you did get a deal from Facebook.
I didn't put a dime into it. So when we've talked about leads and
about,
we've been transparent.
Advertising.
Yeah, man, we're not throwing advertisements out there.
There's a
money
difference.
On it. So
we talked about it last time.
So if we're talking about listing a house in a neighborhood and we post things organically on a social media and people see it,
that's called marketing. It's
and
not called
understand.
Advertising.
Whatever you like.
Yep.
I'm going to start calling you Marvin, like Marvin the
no,
Martian.
No, I want to make sure we separate it, because last week we discussed it.
Right.
It was our first topic, because there's a difference between marketing and advertising.
Just like jam sessions and boot camps. Man, I'm so glad you brought that up. Love you, bro. Inside joke.
Shit.
No, but also, guys, if you're just clicking on anything, if I click on Eli's content on his page, Facebook's going to show me more of his content.
Yeah.
It's not just you having to pay for target marketing.
No.
There's algorithms.
That's called engagement.
And they watch engagement and behaviors.
Yeah. Engagement's a like, a comment, a share,
and
a
that's
tag,
how
a view.
That's how ours flourished on that. We didn't put a dime into it.
Yeah, so everybody listening, engagement's very important on Facebook. It's like, I'm always going to ping pong with you guys, because you guys are the offline masters, and I'm learning as much as I can and perfecting my craft so I could be the online master.
You're the steroid master.
yeah. Nice try. but when somebody engages in a post, that's data that's tracked, and now we can retarget those people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, okay, so here's where we're going to get into part two, because I know we're already 33 minutes. We got a couple more things on this one to cover. But I'm glad you said that, because it's like, ooh, Alex, that's where shit starts getting a little bit more convoluted and a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
Which is why it's super important, guys. If you can just focus on your organic network from where you live, where you do your work, where your kids are at, where you gravitate. Like, the reason why that market is so important is because some of this stuff gets very convoluted. There's a lot of layers to it. It takes some time to build. And if you're trying to do that everywhere, it won't work, man. If you're trying to tackle Colorado, Denver metro area with your target marketing, or if you're trying to pick four different markets to send emails to and postcards to, and all, man, it's just too much, and you're not perfecting that craft. What you need to do is create a process within the market you're already in, because you're comfortable there. You can speak to
it. Start where you are.
You know people there.
Yeah.
And when you can perfect that process, now you can take that template and you can apply it somewhere else. But also understand, don't forget what made you successful. If you're going to then apply that process to the adjacent town or you know, like Parker and Southeast Aurora, very close, if I want to do something in Parker, I should probably find a way to go engage with Parker. Maybe not meet as many people as I do in my own neighborhood. I understand that. However, I might want to go eat lunch down there. I might want to start going and doing things out there and seeing what people are talking about. You ever just have coffee with someone, like you're buying coffee at Starbucks and you just ask them how their day's going, and like start asking them about the area?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. No, people will talk for days. Mm-hmm. You had a gas station, people hear everyone's problems. Gas station clerks, they got all the dirt on the city. I fucking promise you, right? Like, just having conversations with people, going into restaurants, asking someone at Starbucks, hey, I was going to try, you know, so-and-so's pork barbecue. Like, what do you think of that place? It's not bad, but I'm on this neighborhood thing, and I guess the service isn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. There are private neighborhood social media pages. Dude, we live out here in Southeast Aurora by Southlands. A company went out of business, dude. The guy was rude. someone starts commenting on that private Facebook page, like, hey, man, they don't treat people very respectfully. This is how so-and-so treated my daughter. I went in the next day, this happened. And, oh, yeah, it happened to me, too. Happened to me, too. Great. Mm-hmm. So we're just not going to eat there.
That went viral.
And then Talon's Reach just stopped eating there. Yep. And it was gone. Like, understand, you can learn so much about an area by just going and having conversation and speaking to people and just doing your due diligence to putting the time in to understanding
now,
what you're doing.
Let me chime in on that, because that's one of the nuggets I want to share with everybody. So taking the Barney style approach, right? If somebody's new to getting into digital marketing or social media, or they just want to get better, right? They're not getting the results. They're not getting the engagement. That's a really good example of what you just said. All these areas, all these businesses that you're going into, you could talk about them and do a business spotlight on your page. Right, so we believe in three pages on Facebook, not your profile, not your personal page. We're talking about business pages. We believe in either a real estate business page, kind of like what you guys have, the Genesis Home Team. Mm-hmm. We believe in a community page, and we believe in a lifestyle page. The difference is the community page is targeting a community between 10 and 50,000 homes. That's your area where you live or you work or you want to make it your area. And the community is more targeting like a larger area, like in this case where we are, it'd be Denver, right? Or it'd be or Colorado
Parker
Springs.
Southeast Aurora.
Well, Parker would be called a community page because it's Parker.
Got you, yep.
Right, but Denver is so long and broad, that would be called a lifestyle page. Or Colorado Springs is big as well, right?
I got one of those. You want to buy it from me?
Denver Lifestyles.
No, but hold on. Yeah. So I want to go with this. So what you said is everything you just said that you physically do, you could do now and post it on your page. Because you want your page to be more of a like a Google type of environment where people could come in and
interact. Community.
Yeah, interact. And that's how you're going to get people to, that's how you're going to reach more people organically on your post, which is very important. Those are impressions. Facebook loves impressions. Why? Because it's data. They just want data. And that's how you're going to get, as long as the content is relevant, engagement. People to like, comment, share. Why we like that, remember, it's because we can retarget it.
Huge. And for example.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes great sense, man. I appreciate that. And you just got to do your due diligence. So, for example, you also have to remember that you can only speak to like your opinion or your lens, right? But you've got to be good at your craft. And this is why when I spoke about being a practitioner, it's so important. So, for example, we had a client move. We've had several clients in Castle Rock. One in particular, they've got a family. They're super proactive in communities. They got friends down there. And, dude, I promise you, from one block to the other, it was like Snob Hill. It was like, no, we got to be on this block. We got to be on this side of this road. It was not the highway, by the way. Okay, but like literally the community and the comments about the community were drastically different between this ridge and this ridge and the schools that were there and what you had and then the community, the rec center. So what we had to do, man, like we literally drove to the house that they wanted to purchase several different times because they were like, man, there's just no kids out. You know, like we want our kids to be involved with kids. We also want them to be able to go to the school. Well, yeah, but this house is for that school. Yeah, but just something doesn't feel right. Well, yeah, it's Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Kids are taking naps or they're in school, right? Like, hey, let's go on a weekend. We go on a weekend. We start seeing it. Oh, hey, there's more kids. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And they absolutely loved the home. It was the atmospherics around it that they were concerned about. So, we don't just tell them to go on Saturday. We went with them. Mm-hmm. We went and saw the home again. We had to look at it. It was a new build, so there was some updates anyway.
Bro. We hired actors, little kids. We put in random yards.
You hired them for the weekend.
Some guys mowing a lawn out there.
Smart move, guys.
Lemonade stand. Yeah.
So they see more kids now. They see more activity. They'll say, okay, no, yeah, that feels good. But, man, this one guy across the street, every time, guys, we come over here and drive by, he wants to talk to us and complain about the pool and how dirty it was. And we can't have that. Yeah, you're right. You got kids. You can't have a dirty pool.
Will killed him.
Jesus. Some other guy named Will.
They ended up not moving
Bill, there. Bill killed them.
No, they moved there.
Oh, they did.
So what we did was, man, like we just reached out to the HOA and the community center. And they're like, yeah, so here's what the problem was. They only had one lifeguard throughout the summer, and they didn't realize how many people moved in so quickly. They couldn't handle the workload, and the maintenance just went down, and they had a plan of attack for that next summer, that next spring and summer. They said, yeah, we've hired four more people. Here's how it's going to go. They had a game plan to make sure that that got taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we were able to go, look, guys, out of all the deals we've done with new builds and communities, there's going to be growing pains. But what we do like is they've got a game plan, and they've hired four more people in addition to that one poor guy who had to hack the whole load all spring and summer. They just couldn't keep up with everything. So now I've got five instead of one. Here's what they're going to do to make sure that this pool and the rec center is taken care of adequately. Now they've got the staff to support it. Yeah. We thought outside of the box. We started doing some research and bringing them answers versus just – and, man, when they did, they loved the home. They were literally going to walk away from the home that they freaking loved.
Yep.
over very legitimate circumstances that were more than solvable with some research. But this is the level of commitment you got to have a client sometimes when you're a practitioner. You got to go find these answers. It's not what you think about a community. It's what the community thinks about the community. And then when you're thinking about what does a community think about the community, validating it, right? Because then we only heard, because then there's always sometimes where you just got that one cuckoo bird neighbor who just hates everything.
Yep.
Right? But we didn't fall back on that. We didn't tell these clients, I still bought a house. Nah, you know, there's always that one neighbor that's like super annoying and just they hate everything. Oh, yeah, well, we stopped by the pool. It was dirty. So he must be the super annoying, honest neighbor. You're going to look like an idiot if you try to shortcut it and just assume that he's the crazy neighbor. There's always a crazy neighbor. We get it. Mm-hmm. But you can't assume that that's who that guy is because you're not going to do your due diligence to go find answers. That's why it's so important to be a practitioner. We get referrals from those folks. They're great people. But again, be a practitioner. Identify problems. Don't try to deflect.
Yeah.
Just realize like, hey, that could be just a cuckoo bird, but that could be legit. But we found real answers for them. They were super happy, and they never had to give up the actual home that they fell in love with over circumstantial complaints.
Yeah,
right?
That's being huge, being a trusted advisor, right?
100%.
Being a trusted professional, not a celebrity. 100%. Maybe a celebrity would have taken a different approach on that one.
As we're wrapping up part one here, final words?
Again, Barney style for me, to become more omnipresent, become the local authority, right? We were going to say celebrity, but obviously we switched it to a trusted advisor in your marketplace. I believe the tactics that Will mentioned are very on point, complemented with using social and digital the right way. So start with your local area, maybe a 3 to 5 mile radius of where you live or you work or you want to work. Mm-hmm. Start there. Use your page to put more content that's relevant, these businesses, these communities, these spotlights on the page. Start targeting people like cold traffic, just so you guys know, it's important to start targeting these people early on. Especially the ones that have those interests and behaviors that I talked to you about, like Redfin and Realtor.com, et cetera. Target them early on. Invite them to the page. That's why I believe so much in community and lifestyle pages, because when you invite somebody to a community page, let's just say Parker, for example, it's not a real estate page. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, the Will and Eli show, right? It's Parker living, Parker lifestyle. And if somebody lives in Parker or wants to live in Parker and they see that post in their thread and you're inviting them to like and follow it, the chances are, especially if they have the interests and behaviors that I talked to you guys about, the chances are they're probably going to like and follow the page because they want to learn more about Parker.
That's a gold nugget, man. I'm so glad you said that.
Hold on, I want to add one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then another one is, so you got your cold audience. So in order, page, cold audience. Your third one is your warm audience. So these are people you're mailing postcards to. These are people that you have in your database, like your old leads or prospects. These are people that watch your videos.
Past clients.
Yeah, your sphere of influence.
People that have engaged with you somehow.
Totally. You can upload those lists to Facebook, and same concept applies. Mm-hmm. Have them come and follow and like your page. And as long as your page is not a salesy page, which it's not, right? Mm-hmm. And you're posting good, relevant content on communities and business bias sites and things to do, you're going to get a following. And then from there, you know, you got to take, I love your guys' approach, right? It's people doing business with people. We use social media to get people. It's funny. I use social media to get people's attention on Facebook, et cetera, digital marketing. But you guys are saying, let's take those people out of social media and get them in front of us.
And then the opposite, people that are in front of us,
put them in social media.
Yes.
Right. It all works together like a yin and yang. Yes. So that's my final points.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they're awesome. And it's just some good perspective on understanding like what is a cold audience? Because even people that are in your direct market where you live in your neighborhood, I don't know everyone in my
cold audience. Very simple. In my opinion, somebody doesn't know who you are.
Right.
Cold audience.
And realize even maybe your neighbor doesn't know who you are. That's true. Important. But also understand that guys, that cold audience becomes warm. That warm audience becomes hot. The bottom line here, and I guess my end states for this number one is just whether it's cold, whether it's warm, whether you've known them, they're prior prospects or strangers, no matter what, through the entire process of having relationships with people, whether they're doing good, you know, they're going to do business with you or send you referrals because they've already done business with you.
Yeah.
What has to remain a constant is providing value. If you start watering down content, if you start throwing a bunch of crap out there because you got a bunch of emails or you always be closing, whatever it may be, man, like, it's going to go away. So you've always got to be bringing value. You've always got to be relevant. And just make sure that you're focused on the relationship side of people. And if you really do like Parker and you live in Parker and you make a community page about Parker, get excited about bringing value to Parker and put a ton of relevant content in there where people actually want to go to the page because they know if there's anything going on in Parker in the next 2 months, it's going to be here.
Absolutely.
Or if there's fun facts or market updates or whatever it is, people want to actually go to the page because there's value behind it. Okay, like super important. So my insight for that is just making sure that regardless of where they're at in that phase, we've got to have the value.
Yeah. I think we covered everything that I wanted, that I put on the board and you put on the board, Will and Eli, for part one. So,
yep. And this is part one, guys. So stay tuned next week for part two.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Thanks for checking us out, guys. If you have any questions, feedback, anything like that, shoot us a DM, comment on this video. If you have any questions specific to what we were talking about today, leave a comment below, ask your questions. We'll make sure to hit it next week.
Awesome.
See you guys.
All right. We'll see you guys. Won't stop fighting to the very end.